Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Latter Day Hunting. How you doing, Doug?
Doing well.
Well, that's good.
I'm doing good, too.
So, we want to remind everybody for, like, whatever feedback you want to give us. It could be anything, or if you want to, we especially want to hear some bad dating stories, and we want to read them one day. So be sure to email us at latterdayhunting@gmail.com. We'll be checking on that, and maybe you'll get featured on Latter Day Hunting Podcast. How cool would that be?
I mean, 35 people listen, so you're basically famous.
That's like being the all-star in your ward. When you show up and 35 people say hi to you, you're the coolest person there.
Yeah, I actually just asked Trave, and I was like, dude, what's the password for our email? And then when I went in there, and I was like, come on, guys, I want some feedback.
We'll get it, because you guys are going to give it to us. Give it to us good. Anyway, today, we wanted to talk about, because last time we had the fabulous Cammy on to talk about DTR and about ghosting and all these relationship problems, but we're going to be talking about getting into a relationship. For some of us, that's a wonderful idea. For others, it is the most terrifying thing imaginable. You're just locked down. They call it the ball and chain. Or others call it the most amazing relationship and experience in their life. It depends on the relationship.
Yes.
Hopefully it's not a ball and chain for everybody. But we want to talk about, like, getting into it. Doug, like, maybe you can tell us your approach. How do you get into a relationship?
Get into a relationship. The DTR, obviously, which is why we felt like we should talk about this, because either it's going to end, or if it's successful, you have the talk. And I don't think it's like, I don't think that like it always happens this way, because a relationship to me, here's kind of my defining, this is what I consider a relationship. When you know that you're going to be spending your Friday and Saturday night with this person, you don't quite know what you're going to do, but you know that if your friend asks you to go to something, that you're going to have to clear it by said person.
Oh my gosh.
That is a relationship.
That is definitely a relationship. Hi. You want to go to the game on Friday? Oh man, I got to check with her to see if I can go. What?
So, and it's not a negative thing, like, no. like Traven said, so, how do you get there? I think the point is you're spending lots of time together, you have the talk, and both of you seem to still be able to put up with each other, so you're in a relationship.
Hold on, I gotta ask this, because, like, I'm very upfront with the woman about asking her, like, hey, will you be my girlfriend?
Okay.
I'm very formal about it, very, like, romantic. You guys should see my body movements. I'm, like, moving my hips and shoulders as I'm talking about this. It's like I'm salsa dancing. I'm like, will you be my girlfriend? Oh, sí, Palola. Anyway. But what do you do, Doug? Because I know some guys are like, well, so does that mean we're exclusive?
Right. And I think that's part of the DTR. Personally, I'm not... I don't think I'm formal. Like... maybe I'm just a wuss about it, but a lot of times, and I have, you know, listen back to episode one. I've been in a relationship, okay? I promise.
It's confirmed.
But a lot of times I'll crack a joke about it, like, hey, so you telling people that you're my girlfriend, or like super like snarky and
cool. Trying to ease it.
Yeah.
Trying to be so small.
And if they like it, they're like, oh yeah, they think it's cute. If they don't, but they still like me, they're like, just ask if I'm your girlfriend, you freaking moron. Like, you don't need to do this, like, beat around the bush cutie stuff. Like,
right.
So, I don't do the formal question. I feel like I'm a little, like, less, I don't know. I do it jokingly.
Oh, yeah. I can see. I did that one time, and then I'm like, so you telling people I'm your boyfriend? And then she turned like, no, I just say I'm going out with a bunch of people. And I'm like, Oh! Okay!
You're like, we're not on the same page from our talk last
were
night.
Were you like laughing but crying on the inside? And they're sitting there and they're like, I don't know, working on stir fry. And you're just like, I'm just going to go to the bathroom for a minute. And you're like holding on to the sink with both hands, bent over, like trying not to shed a tear, staring at yourself in the mirror, like, pull it together, man.
Right. It's so true, though. But like, okay, so the context of this episode, like, we're going to say we've reached this destination. We've reached the relationship status. Yes. And there are a few responsibilities and attributes of a relationship that we're going to discuss, because it is a living organism.
Yes.
It is. And it can die. And that's okay.
Quickly.
But I feel like the point I'm trying to make is there's a stark difference between going on a few dates and a relationship. Like it the dynamic changes drastically.
Yeah. It's true. And there's some, like Doug was saying, responsibility, well, some changes in the relationship you have to get accustomed to.
Right.
And one of these things that you have to get accustomed to is meeting people such as friends and family.
Yeah, that you might not care about, but they are very dear to your significant other.
Yes.
And so you have to meet these friends and family, and they're going to become a part of your life because it's such a large part of their life. So, what do we do?
Right. Like, easing into it. Oh my gosh. Like, one of the things that I'm terrible at, and I should be better at, is when you show up and your significant other, you're meeting, like, oh, one of the, like, hardest place, I'm going to sidetrack here. Sure. One of the hardest place to meet friends is at a wedding reception.
Yes.
Where you meet, like, 30 of them, and you have to remember their names and listen to all these stories about each of them, like, oh, Jessica, you remember Jessica, right? Like, oh my gosh, yes, Jessica! And you totally just lie about it.
You couldn't tell her from Eve.
Okay, to be honest, like, I don't lie about it. I'm like, honestly, I have no idea who you're talking about. I'm like, you met Jessica last night? I'm like, I met 30 people last night. I probably met Jessica, her mom, her sister, her brother, and I don't remember any of their names either.
No, but it's true, like, that is the worst, and that seems to happen a lot, because it's kind of a big deal to bring a date to a wedding reception. Okay, this is going to sidetrack again, but don't you hate it when you go with a friend, and everyone asks if you are dating?
Oh, yeah.
They're like, well, you came to the wedding together, so we just wanted dessert.
Yeah, you wanted a quick fix and then go somewhere else.
It's like, they said they were having cheesecake. It sounded good.
Cheesecake can be pricey. Go to Cheesecake Factory, $10 a slice. Are you kidding? Go to a wedding down the street and get it for free.
They're like, how do you know this person? No, but bringing us back, like,
yeah,
it is a terrible place to meet people. But I feel like, let's talk about, yeah, how do you, I mean, and this goes both ways, so we'll, you know, Traven, how do you go about introducing her to your close friends?
Oh, introducing her? Well, not gonna lie, people, usually she doesn't meet them. Like, my really close friends, and honestly, I don't bring them in a big group. My friends are very unique. I love my friends dearly, but even they can attest to this. When we're all together, like, if there are, like, six of us together, there's not getting a word in. There's laughing hysterically just by looking at each other and thinking about it as a joke.
Yeah.
Like, you're all on the same page. So what I usually do, I'm like, hey, I got my buddy Preston, and he has a wife, he has a daughter, so how about we go over there and we all have dinner together?
Mm-hmm.
Just like one-on-one. Right. They're sitting there chatting, having a good time. Back to shoulder movements.
I'm seriously starting to dream. I'm like, what are you doing?
That's how I mingle, Doug. I show up to dinner and I just start rolling my shoulders, walking inside like, we making pasta tonight? But it's definitely like a one-on-one situation where they can sit down and talk to my friends.
Okay. I think that's a good way. Yeah. I think that's honestly the best way, because anytime I've invited someone to like a game night with my close friends or some like an event, it always turns into they're ostracized because they don't know the inside jokes. They don't think it's funny that you look at each other and laugh. I mean, they like you, but they're kind of like, was it funny? I'm not sure. And I have never, maybe you could send us a story telling me otherwise, but I have never had someone mesh with all my friends the first time.
Right.
So, yeah, I think the one-on-one stuff is really good. And you know what? Like family, you're kind of stuck with your family, right? I almost think meeting the friends can be more stressful, because at the end of the day, if you want to be with someone, you're going to tell your family to shove it. But, like, your friends, they're going to be like, I don't think she's good for you. Or, you know what I mean? So I feel like that's more stressful than meeting the family. Though, meeting the dad can be scary.
You know what? I've never been scared of that. But on the other half of that, most of the dads I met haven't liked me. One of the dads caught me making out with their daughter. That's okay.
That's how you met.
No, that's not how we met. Okay. But it was like 1 a.m, he's like, I wonder what they're doing. And she's like on top of me in the basement. And we're like making out, and he's like, and like stormed off upstairs. Didn't even notice he was there, and he had to talk to her about it the next day. Like, honey, I just want to make sure you're doing okay with this boy.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Good times. But I was younger, naive, 19.
Yeah, stuff happens.
Stuff happens. But, like, I've never been nervous about meeting the dad, because I've always walked in and like, hey, how's it going? And then they don't like me. I'm like, well, that's cool.
Right.
Can't say it phases me too much.
But I've just been sitting here thinking about more on the friend side. Like, I don't know. I think that is... It's super important. I feel like you... That can affect, like, the longevity of where you're going with this person, like, big time. Because a lot of times, the people that you hold close, they know you the best, or, you know, they claim to, but, like, okay, here's a kind of a sidetrack question, but what if one of your close, or a couple of your close friends come, and they sit you down, and this is, like, you've been with this person for a while, and they've met them quite a bit, and they're like, yeah. You know, Trayvon, like, I really don't think that she's that great for you. Like, that's a tough spot to be in, because what if you feel like great about this person and they like light up your world and make you shimmy your shoulders and then your friends are like, yeah, I'm not feeling it. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's you and your life, but your close circle is a big part of it.
Right. I will say this, like, having been what I've gone through, I don't know if y'all remember from the first episode, I'm divorced.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember so many people coming out of the woodworks being like, oh, we told you that it wasn't a good idea.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm sitting there like, no, you didn't. Maybe one person. My mom was the only person that flat out said it. Everybody else was like, all these subtleties and all these coming out like, oh, well, we hinted this one time at a party when you weren't listening that it wasn't a good idea. And I'm like, what?
That doesn't help anyone.
So, in my experience, like, thinking back on it and thinking about it now, like, family definitely has to approve. And you have to, like, sit down and figure out what they're approving of.
Okay.
If they're super bratty to your family.
Yes.
Like, I remember my ex-wife bashing my mom's cooking to her face.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, we were already married. Like, she kept it very under wraps until we were married, and then all of this crazy... We're not going to talk too much about that. That was depressing. But, like, it depends what they're criticizing. If your family is like, oh my gosh, her voice is so annoying, but her voice lights you up and she's the sweetest thing, you might have to overlook something right, like
of
that.
Of course.
But if it's, like, a genuine thing, like, hey, when you were gone, like, she was talking about how you're going to buy everything for her and how you're just going to support her and she's going to do nothing, that might be a red flag.
Exactly. Yeah. And I didn't mean that family isn't important. I just feel like
that there are people I've met that the family initially didn't approve, and now things have grown and you know, they can not deal with each other, but the relationship is better. That's what I mean. But sometimes, I mean, it could just be that, like, the mom thinks she's great. Like, actually, I don't think my mom has ever liked a girl I've brought home.
Oh, God.
Like, I'm not kidding. Like, she's like, yeah, I guess my mom just thinks I'm probably the cutest thing on planet Earth. So she's like, no one's good enough for him. But, like, I'm serious. Like, my dad's like, oh, I thought she was really nice. And my mom's like,
That's definitely something to consider. I remember my mom, what was it? I brought some friends home when I was, like, 14 or something. And my mom and my brother were like, who's that girl you brought up? Or the girls you were brought up? And I'm like, oh, they're friends from school. Like, they wanted Almond Joys or something in my house. I don't remember. Something retarded. And my family knew it. They were like, this is so stupid. But then my family was like, yeah, that one girl's boobs were just hanging out everywhere. And they did not like her because of that.
Yeah.
Like, she was a sweetheart for the most part. Like, she was 14 and kind of bratty, like, teenager
things. Well, yeah.
But, like, I remember being so offended and being like, hey, don't talk about her that way. Her boobs are just fine.
I like them.
And I never dated, but she was interesting. Sad story. Anyway. What was I saying? Totally got sidetracked. Anyway. So, like, when you're talking to the family and, like, getting approval, like, Doug's mom situation, sometimes you have to realize nobody's going to be good enough
for
the boy of the family, because you don't have any brothers, right?
No.
So you're like, you're the boy, you're the...
I'm going to carry on the name.
Yeah,
I'm going to carry on the name. So, yeah, no one's going to fully approve. And at the end of the day, like, you being with this person, and whether you choose to continue in the relationship that you've created or whether it ends, it's going to be up to you, but no one's going to fully approve. It's just an interesting dynamic. And, like, as I mentioned, things change because... You know, the more, you know, maybe a month in, you're not going to know everything. I hope you don't know everything.
Right.
But when you're just dating and you're going out and things are new, you don't necessarily emotionally support that person financially in some cases. You know, they might need a little help or a loan or, like... So I feel like when it transforms into this living organism of a relationship, that things become a little more intense. And so, but that's kind of excuse me, that kind of leads me into one of the topics that we also wanted to talk about tonight, and that's you know, this thing that I like to call late 20s baggage.
Voila.
And I got this from a guy in one of my old singles wards, and he was a divorcee, and he brought this up, and he's like, look, like, I feel like, you know, the leaders in the church are like, you're 28, you're 29, you're good looking, you have a good job, like, what? Why aren't you out finding someone? Why is it so hard for you to find someone? And this late 20s baggage is kind of the answer, and let me explain. When you've gone through a relationship and you're emotionally attached and it ends in a bad way, you carry that with you, and you can move on, and you know, we, like, the atonement can help and all those things, but it's still there, and there can in some cases be PTSD because of abuse or because of, you know, different things.
Right.
Late 20s baggage is a lack of trust in getting into a relationship because of you're carrying your ex 2 people ago, 3 people ago does this,
right.
My last ex does this, and it's an excuse,
right?
But it's real.
Yes.
And so that's something that you kind of have, and I think, like, for me, I generally date women my age or a little bit younger, so I think that it's something that you work through together. In fact, guys, if you're in a relationship, sit your girlfriend down and ask her what late 20s baggage she has and how you can help.
If she's in her late 20s.
Right.
If she's like
23,
she ain't got jack.
Yeah, like she's like, oh, this guy liked me in high school, but then I found out he made out with someone else.
I'm like, girl, I did that to you last week. Get over it.
So, but this is a real thing because, as I said, you get to know each other on an emotional level, on a physical right. level, which is wonderful.
but on that note, like the baggage note, thinking about my situation, like the baggage I carry with me, well, I was divorced, but like the serious baggage that I carry with me, I hate feeling pinned down and somebody trying to change me.
Okay.
Like, if a girl comes out and she's like, I need you to stop cracking those kinds of jokes, or I need you to follow this career, or you're not making enough, like, what are we going to do about our future? And I'm like, whoa. Like, one, we haven't been dating that long. And two, like, when people try to change me, I freak out.
Yeah.
And then I just bail. You guys even heard how I bail
yeah.
on relationships and the incredibly vague excuses I give somebody. But that's some serious baggage. And like people I even see nowadays, or there's a girl I've been seeing nowadays, like between her and I, we have baggage.
Right.
Like, things that happened. And it's really unfortunate. Like, I'm actually surprised that she still won't see me after everything that happened.
Amen.
I was, yeah, Doug knows the story. Like, I was pretty awful. Oh man. Like, seriously though, like, it was really bad situation, but there's baggage there,
right,
where like you're trying to figure it out together. But like it's a serious problem, and we talk about, and it's hard when somebody doesn't understand. Like, you're trying to explain it to them, and you want to explain it to them, but then they're like, why are you acting this way? And then you sit down and you're like, well, I'm acting this way because of this. And they're like, well, I don't get why you would do that. Why can't you just change?
Right.
And you're like, this is a problem. Like, I had a 2-year marriage. There was another relationship for a year where she tried to, like, change me. And it was like, this whole, that was a good 3 years of my life.
Right, that's a big portion.
And then other people, like, intermittent between that, like, betraying me and lying to me and having trust issues. So, like, when it comes down to it, like, that's a lot of baggage
right.
to bring into something. And just to tell me to figure it out and be like, why aren't you doing this? It's not the appropriate response.
Agreed.
To sit down with somebody and like, well, can't you just get over that for me?
Right, or they say like, but this is different, but we have something new, and you're like I'm not discounting that,
right?
I'm not saying that that's not true, but I'm trying to explain to you a little bit of my history that we didn't talk about when we were first going out, because I didn't think it would be appropriate to tell you these struggles when we first knew each other.
Right. You don't want to dump that on somebody on a first date.
Yeah, you don't. But no, I can appreciate what you said, and like, I feel like in fact, how, you know, we're kind of speaking to a niche group, you know, if you're younger or, you know, whatever. But what I'm trying to say is, to Trayvon's point, how they handle it, or in our case, how we handle what they present to us, is going to be a big indicator of like how that's gonna go. If you want to work together, if they just want you to fix and to just get over it, you know, that's probably not the best response. And like, not that you should dump them on the spot, but I think that this is something that will lead to, you know, either progressing, or when these issues come up, people don't stick around when they don't feel comfortable,
right?
And the good ones do. But yeah, it's funny because there's also, so along with this late 20s baggage, fill us in, guys, if you feel like we're completely out in left field. I think it's a real thing. And, you know, but there's give and take in relationships. And what I mean by that is, I don't think every day, or at least what I've experienced, initially, you have like that infatuation, and you're just like, oh, this person's so wonderful, and they'll kiss me.
Twitter-pated.
Yeah, you really are. But, you know, and they say, well, things go downhill. Well, not downhill, but things like calm down, and they do. But there's certain give and take that you need to do, and, you know, and I feel like that's something that we should address in a relationship, because if they, like Traven said, if he tells you he's working on something and that it's affected him because of such, because of this example, and he has evidence behind it, like, give and take for them would be like, oh, he's going to work on that. He's going to try and become better because he likes me and he's committed to me. Right. I feel like not giving would be like, you should change.
Yeah, like, why don't you just change and trust me? And it's like, this is going to take some time.
Exactly.
Like, not that I don't trust you. It's like the emotional bank account. Like, it's a little by little every day. Like, and it can go away really quick if you say, just trust me.
It really does.
And I'm like, I want to so bad, but, like, I can't. And just on a side note, like, I feel like I should share this right now. I want to talk about, because men generally our age usually have, like, problems with pornography.
They do.
And watching pornography and masturbation, and it's on it. I feel like it's something just to briefly touch on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, when it comes to pornography baggage, like, I understand everything. You shouldn't watch pornography. It has very disabling effects on your mental psyche.
Yeah.
And how you can be totally paralyzed in your life. Yeah. If you're addicted to it. Which, addiction is a more of an... Anyway, if somebody wants to talk about addiction with me, they can. But I see it more as a compulsion disorder. But that's a side note. But when it comes down to that, like, if somebody's working on it, if they're like, hey, I'm talking to my bishop, I'm trying to work this out, like, a lot of people in the church, they say, if they watch pornography, dump them.
Yeah.
Leave them.
Yeah.
Don't trust them. Don't trust anything. And if the guy has, like, a serious problem, you can tell. Like, it's a case by case. So you can judge, like, if I should break it off, if
right.
I should keep going.
Right.
But if they're, like, truly sincere, because I know some really sincere guys who have had problems with pornography,
yeah.
And then they've eventually overcome it and got married, and it's a daily temptation for them.
It is.
It's a tough thing. But, like, when guys, even women, like, I'm not, women, you do it too. don't try to say that women don't. But if guys are truly striving to be better, they'll show it to you.
Right.
It takes a little bit of time. The fact that they tell you is super, like, that's a big trust step.
It is.
That's like them jumping off the cliff and hoping that they're going to land in a river or a bush and not on the rocks below. But it's just something I wanted to bring up because it can be a deal breaker for some people and just dump them off. I've heard one girl, she was like, yeah, my dad told me if he watches pornography at all, dump him.
Yeah.
Just gone. And I'm like, that's so unfair to the guy sometimes. Sometimes it's just because if the guy's addicted to pornography and he's trying to have sex with you
yeah.
every day,
yeah.
like, you might want to take a step back and reevaluate
of the course.
Relationship.
Like you said, case by case.
Right. But just kind of pray about it. Take a chance and actually listen to your heart and listen to your prayers and think about what's going on and how the guy acts. Analyze this stuff because he's trying sometimes and he wants to be trusted. He's just struggling.
Right. No, I think it's, we didn't discuss bringing this up at all, but I think it's incredibly important that it's brought up and, you know, in the church and I think a lot of it is highlighted in the church because we have this belief, and Traven and I agree, don't condone that use of that material and that it's not something that we should be engaging ourselves in, but we also have it highlighted a lot more than other people because they might not believe that it's wrong.
Right.
But the point, like, that I like that Traven is making is that follow the Spirit. I really think, you know, and there's girls out there that will listen to this and they have had, you know, a really bad experience with someone that was addicted to pornography, and they'll play devil's advocate, and that, you know what? I'm so sorry that happened to you, but I cannot accept someone that just lets someone completely off because they've watched pornography. If, like, I've watched pornography. So if you don't want to date me now because you've heard that, like, it's not like a bye, but it's like, you know, this is something we, that in the church, it's a struggle. Right. And it's part of late 20s baggage. And in fact, ladies, you will probably hear this, not from most, but you will hear this from quite a number of guys that they have this issue. And it's a case by case. You need to follow the Spirit. We need to follow the Spirit. You're bringing stuff into the relationship as well. And it's important to be brought up because we know, you know, that we can change and that the Savior is real. Things got really a little bit deep right now, but I think it's important. Yes. And dating, what's the end of dating? To get married, to continue God's plan. And we know that Satan's out there throwing a whole bunch of stuff at us to try and not get us to follow that path, right?
Right.
And so, you know, feel it out. And I'll commit to do the same for you.
Yeah, for sure. And just on a side note, I attended like this pornography seminar or something, and it was pretty much like, if I can remember correctly, people our generation, a millennial generation, 100% of men have seen pornography in one way or another.
Yeah.
So if you're going to discount them for seeing porn, good luck finding somebody. And I'm not saying like they watch it consistently or masturbate to it consistently, but I'm just saying like, it's out there. It's a plague. It really is, like Gordon Hinckley said, the plague that's covering the earth. And that's what it is. And like, guys fight it, and we're fighting the good fight, trying to get relationships, trying to build healthy relationships.
We are. And we're not condoning. I hate it when people say boys will be boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have mistakes. Boys are more sexual than women in some cases. But, like, you know, we're trying to fight the good fight, and we're in it together, and I want to be successful and to get married and to have children and raise them in the gospel, because it's such a big deal to us, and that's why we started this, because we wanted to crack jokes about it. But at the end of the day, like we mentioned this all the way back, it's the plan of salvation, it's what God intended, and it just kind of sucks along the way.
That it does, my good friend. After you've tasted the cake and you have to go back to celibacy, that is not enjoyment right there. That is like, yeah, I might as well join the monastery.
You should.
Going out.
You really should. Just freaking meditate all day.
Meditate on what I'm missing.
Anyway, we are going to wrap up things here, but yeah, relationship's a different animal. We might even, you know, there's different things and characteristics and things that we didn't even touch on here.
Right.
We might have a girl on to get her side. Let us know if you enjoy the guests. We have freaking lot of fun when they come on.
Oh, they're the best.
But, you know, this is something that we feel should be talked about, and hopefully you gain something from it. If not, we're still here and we're still going to keep recording, so.
Yeah!
Anyway, hey, email us. LatterdayHunting@gmail.com. Tell us what you think and feel, and we'll talk to you later.
All the feels. Bye.